Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show
giving
whose only
all
mission
to the
power
of
you.
That were
only gonna bring me to my
knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, 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 and thank you so much for tuning in and choosing this time to be with us. Today's show, Childhood Cancer, A Father's Journey, it is my pleasure to welcome our guest, Mr. Raymond Perkins Jr., who will be joining us to share his journey from receiving the diagnosis that his son has childhood cancer to now writing inspirational children's books. Mr. Raymond Perkins Jr. is a proud husband, a proud father of five and one grandchild, retired middle school social studies teacher, and author of a series of mystery and adventure children's books, the BT and Jimmy Adventure Series, The Mystery of the Silver Statue, and The Mystery of the Brick Kingdom, written to inspire, entertain, and spread disability awareness amongst children. And welcome, Ray, to the show.
Well, thank you, Yvonne. Thanks for having me.
It is such a pleasure, and thank you for opening up and wanting to share this journey and use your voice and your experience to inspire children through these stories. First, I want to ask, could you share with us what age your son was when he was diagnosed, and what was the diagnosis?
He was 5 years old at the time, and it was to this month in 1982, so it was 30 years ago, that he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and it was a medulloblastoma, which was a cancerous tumor. The tumor, if I could just give you a little more detail, the tumor, when they found it, was about the size of a baseball in the cerebellum, which is in the back of the brain. And the doctors before the operation were concerned that it may have spread into the brain stem as well.
Wow. So what were some of the signs that led doctors to test them or to find it?
Well, my son had been kind of sickly the previous winter. He had mono, which is kind of unusual, I think, for a five-year-old. And just lots of colds and the flu, and he just was sick all winter. And then by July or August, he started complaining of headaches, and then he told us that he could see two of us. And that really alerted us to that something was going on. So we took him to our family pediatrician at that point.
Wow. As a parent myself of a child with special needs, my youngest son, well, I have two sons, Zaire and Zion, and my youngest son, Zion, has Down syndrome. And my biggest concern wasn't that he had Down syndrome. My concern was and still is his health. And I can only, I can only imagine what it's like to receive that type of diagnosis. When you took them to the doctor and they started testing them and they came back with the results, what was your initial reaction?
Well, first of all, we really had no idea it was going to be this serious. So we were just totally floored. We were and terrified because we were young parents. He was our first child. I was 26 years old at the time and my wife was 22. We had a younger son who was 3 years old. Yeah. And when our doctor here, where we are in northern Vermont, did not have the capability or even in the hospitals nearby to diagnose him, so we were sent 75 miles away to Fletcher Allen Healthcare. It's part of University of Vermont, and they made the diagnosis there with a CAT scan, and it was mind-numbing. It was almost—it's so hard to explain what,
yeah,
when you get that news about your child.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can only imagine. I've had family members who were diagnosed with cancer, or friends, or you know, a lot of the parents that have kids with special needs—they, you know, which I consider my friends as well. Have kids that were diagnosed with leukemia and different childhood cancers. So I can't say I know what it's like, but I can say, you know, I can only imagine.
To make the situation even more difficult, I was at my first day of a new job as a teacher, teacher in service, and my son was going to be a kindergartner that fall. So I opted not to go to the doctors with my wife, not knowing, you know, what the diagnosis would be. And so in the middle of in-service, when she called and said, oh, my God, they're sending us to Burlington for a CAT scan, and the doctor says it's not good, it was devastating. I was a first-year teacher. I had no idea, you know, what I was going to do at that point.
Yeah.
But my,
yeah,
you know,
and 30 years ago, the technology wasn't as advanced either.
Well, definitely. And I'll talk about that later on in terms of what's happened in the last couple of years as a result of his having this brain tumor and the radiation treatments he had then.
Yeah. How have you grown from this? You know, anytime we deal with a loved one or anytime we face this type of experience like this, it changes us, shifts us in some form. So how have you grown from this?
Well, it certainly has. I think that, you know, it would have been very easy for my wife and I to have, one of us to have just said, no, I can't do this, but instead it really brought us together. However, it did rock our world. It made us question our faith. But a coworker months later said, you know, you'll never face anything this difficult in your life, and everything will be easy after this. And, well, it hasn't really been easy, but certainly we've been able to put things in perspective in terms of, you know, how precious life is and understanding that.
Yeah. And so 30 years later, after he's been diagnosed, how is he today?
It was scary for the first 5 years because every 6 months we did CAT scans at the hospital. We'd make a daily trip of it because it was 75 miles away. And then we wouldn't get the results immediately. It would be a couple of days later. So we were always on pins and needles. And things progressed very well, other than the fact that the radiation treatments that he had destroyed his pituitary gland. And therefore, he never grew to normal size. He's about 5'1" as a young man. And that was one of the difficulties growing up, is that he reached a point where he just failed to grow. Now, it was about 2.5 years ago that I got a call from his wife of 1 month. Uh-huh. He had had a stroke at 33 years old. And as fate would have it, and we, you know, we believe it was God's hand touching us again.
Yeah.
When they did the MRI, they realized that he had three new tumors. Because initially, at 5 years old, the initial surgery had, the doctor had removed the tumor. It was a fast-growing cancerous tumor, but it was encased in calcium. and therefore it didn't spread. And so they were able to remove it, but they did radiation treatments just to be safe. And it was those radiation treatments that affected him 28 years later. Because what they found is radiation-induced tumors in his brain 2 years ago.
Wow. So what led you to writing children's books?
Well, I started writing with my kids at school when I taught an English class. And what started out as a short story, because the kids enjoyed it so much, it had a history flavor to it, because I'm a history teacher. And when I began the story, it wasn't about my sons, but by the time I'd finished it and submitted it to an agent in New York City, the agent came back and said, you need to do something different. Your story's, you know, how are you going to separate yourself from the pack? And that's when I decided that my main characters would be my two sons, and my oldest son then became the model for the character in the book for BT, who had the same sort of issues as he grew up.
Okay, and what is the main goal that you want readers to walk away from this story?
Well, first of all, because I'm a teacher at heart, I want stories that kids read, or even adults, because adults enjoy the books as well. I want them to be fun, but I also want them to inspire, and I want to be able to share that if people persevere, that it's possible to overcome struggles in life, whatever it happens to be, whether it's a disability or some issue or some problem you're having. And so that's what BT does. It's all about BT's struggles to overcome what's happened to him early in his life. And besides that, it has a little history in it and a mystery. And I hope that, I can keep kids turning the pages.
Yeah.
And not only having fun with it, but also learning a lesson as well.
I did read some of the mystery of the silver statue, and I haven't read all of it yet, but mm-hmm. I must say that, you know, when I read it, I can visualize the scenes, and and it's an easy read, and it's very well written. Could you briefly tell us what I think you kind of touched on it already. Your books are about?
Sure. The main characters, BT and Jimmy, stumble upon a treasure map, and the map is from the French and Indian War era. And after breaking the code in the letter with the map, they go searching for lost treasure. And it's the treasure of the silver statue, which is the silver statue is of the Virgin Mary, and it was a solid silver statue that the French gave to the Abnaki Indians in Canada in an attempt to convert them to Christianity. Mm-hmm. The statue was taken by one of British soldiers in America under Colonel Robert Rogers, and they were called Rogers Rangers. The statue was lost on Rogers Rangers' return from Canada and has never been recovered to this day, and that is a historical fact. And so I used that event in history to as my vehicle to have the boys go out looking for lost treasure. So this is, and I always told the story in my social studies classes as well about this silver statue, and I had kids all excited and hepped up about going out and looking for lost treasure, and that's why I thought, this would really be a good story a short story to make into a short novel for kids.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting, and from what I've read, like I said earlier, it's a really, it was a page turner, and I do plan on going back and finish reading it.
Oh, good, and my sequel is coming out later this fall.
Oh, good. How would you classify these books? What's the genre?
In an interview I did for the Silver Statue, I had a journalist say, "I think these are history mysteries." So I'm not. I think maybe it's a combination of genres, and they are aimed at young adults, and because there it is a mystery, but because there is also some history that is included in the book, I guess you'd have to call it an adventure stories.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Where can we go to purchase them and to find out more information?
Well, you can find out more at my website is mysteryforme.com, and the four is the number four. So it's mysteryforme.com. Also, I have a Facebook page. That's facebook.com/BT and Jimmy. And I'd love to get emails from people. And I am actually doing a big fundraiser for cancer research coming up this fall. Starting October 1st, I will be donating half of my proceeds from the book to the American Association for Cancer Research.
Okay.
And my email is readtokickcancer@gmail.com, and that's the number two. So read number
like
two.
That.
Yeah, readtokickcancer@gmail.com.
Good, good.
People can also follow me on Twitter at rperk55.
Our perk 55.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we go, what encouraging words, would you like to share with other parents who might be struggling to cope with their child having any form of illness, for that matter? What words of encouragement would you share with them?
Well, I would say never give up. There's always hope. I can remember back when my son was 5 years old and when he had to go for the radiation treatments and he was so anxious and worried about them. We bought him a lightsaber because Star Wars was all the hit then. And I called him my little warrior at that point. And, you know, just attempted to help him see that there were possibilities to overcome his situation. One thing that I would say is if people can access any kind of assistance from whatever community resources there are people out there. But you have to be proactive. You have to research possible solutions or not necessarily even solutions, but ways to cope. Talk to people.
Yeah.
Don't do it alone.
That's really great advice. And I think for a lot of people, that might be one of the hard things to do is to reach out because, so I'm glad that you brought that up, that one of the things to help them is to reach out to other people that are going through it.
Definitely. You know, we were so far away from our hospital that we did not have much contact with the social workers, and therefore they didn't give us a lot of assistance in terms of helping direct us to community resources. Luckily for us, we had an extended family, a large family. We had our faith, very strong Catholic faith, and the help of our priest, and just a lot of people, a lot of friends in a very small area who really rallied around us.
Yeah. This was an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and I wish you continued blessings, you and your family. Wish you all well, and thank you for devoting your passion and your work toward making a difference and not only spreading awareness but to also raise awareness as far as research and raising funds for research for childhood cancer. It's very needed. So I wanted to say thank you, and thank you for being on the show as well.
Well, Yvonne, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to people about this subject. It's very near and dear to my heart.
Well, thank you, and you have a wonderful day, and maybe we can have you back on.
I would love that, and I'd like to be able to talk about my fundraiser with the American Association for Cancer Research someday.
Okay, if you want to throw it out, I think you already kind of threw it out there, but if you want to just throw it out there again,
sure,
feel free. Or also, I can also have you back on to talk more in depth about the research.
Okay, great. That's the American Association for Cancer Research, and we are partnering to do a fundraiser using my both of my books, and I am going to donate 50% of the proceeds to cancer research.
Good.
And people can read more about that at my website, mysteryforme.com.
Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Okay, thanks. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
How I was meant to fly. Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first. Know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.